I'm just going to start it a little bit. Whose assignment was to take the bus here?
Third bus and
get the bus.
Yeah.
On the bus. Yeah. Every time it opens up, I can just feel that breeze. It's intense.
Another minute.
Is Dr. Lyon coming?
No. That's why I'm here.
That's why you're in the position of. Oh, yes, exactly.
Right. Are we expecting anybody else?
Thank you.
Don't really sign it, Dr. Myers.
Right. Okay. Well, then we'll go ahead. And although he always starts like,
okay,
right on
good.
Time. Yeah. Right on Verizon time. So I call a meeting to order. Would you like to do the roll call? And then we have a couple guests. We'll have people introduce themselves.
Dr. McClure is present. Mr. Bell. We have Mayor Ben Kessler is here. Maybe if we want to go around the room and introduce ourselves, just
and then you can just do it
closer.
Okay.
The board members and city staff.
Do that.
Oh, we're starting with me. Yes, I'm Natalie Botter, executive assistant to the mayor.
I'm like, now I'm just a Bexley resident. I'm just interested. Hey, Mike, you're checking out. Okay.
Just a Bexley resident? You're a Bexley resident.
I am. Danny Hurley, I'm the council liaison.
That's second.
Ryan Donahue, I'm here as an OSU student.
Kathleen Gravel, board member.
I'm David Blake, I'm a code enforcement officer for the city.
Ben Kessler, mayor of the city of Bexley.
Lindsay Ronenhofer, Franklin County Public Health.
Who is going to be here? Is
yes,
that Teresa?
I'm serving as interim director of Teresa's health.
Okay, all right. So good to meet you.
And I'm Dr. Beth Wooden. I am a member of the Board of Health. Is that good enough for the roll call?
Great.
Okay. old business, I think, would be the minutes.
These are the ones we just talked about. We're still looking through this recording.
Oh, okay. We'll do that next time. Oh, yeah, because we didn't meet since September.
What was it, October? Was the last week?
October 17th. October
8th. It was number 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You didn't tell me that. I didn't put it together.
I did. Oh, cool. Great. I don't know all these are recording.
David,
perfect.
There we go. Mystery solved.
Really first recording. It was kind of the last minute sort of thing.
I'm sure it's great.
I can make it work.
Okay. And then would you like to go ahead and do the reports?
Absolutely. So I will start with, we provided four reports. Our first report I'll talk about is our Division of Health Systems and Planning. We had a 2023 kind of year report for you all, just again outlining kind of that return on the investment, what we were able to provide as far as services to Bexley residents, and so really quickly just highlighting a couple things. We were able in 2023 to provide 16 naloxone kits and 33 fentanyl test strips to residents in that zip code of 43209, which we represent Bexley. We had 10 residents trained in naloxone distribution who attended our online or in-person trainings. We also were able to pass, or the city of Bexley passed the tobacco retail license and flavor ban, and executed a contract with FCPH to be the TRL enforcement agency. And that program is expected to launch this year. Work on that. We also, in our care coordination program, our CHW served 7 residents. We had 64 different contacts. One of those residents was a pregnant client.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Because I've heard about it. Is there a way to for us to let people know about it? Yeah. Like, and market it?
Yes. We have online, we have a whole online page on our website that has a referral form. I'm happy to send that to you all. We also have various promotion materials in 5x7 cards that come in English as well as 4 other languages. So definitely.
Can send that.
Okay.
That's
yeah, absolutely. And again, our that program specifically, it is unique, and we can serve not only Franklin County residents, but we can serve Central Ohio residents. So if for some reason a resident moves outside of Franklin County jurisdiction lines, we could still serve them if they're in the surrounding Central Ohio area.
And that would include if they moved into Columbus?
And if they moved into Columbus, and again, so some of those highest pathways served were education pathways, social service referrals, and connections and medical referrals. As far as our healthy eating or health promotion, we had various programs that we, you know, worked with Bexley as well as worked within Franklin County. So our active living, our chats, our community health action teams, in which we had a mid-year meeting and an annual meeting. We also had our healthy food access program. And so within that program, 14 community residents and 7 households living within 43209 received fresh produce through the Clinton Township Produce Market. And then we had emergency preparedness, of course, and they provided various efforts, plans and such, not only around COVID, but some of the other programs and responses. And then we also had, again, some fire chief meetings that our staff attended, and then 4 other police chief meetings. So that is just a quick glimpse of what we did and how we served residents in Bexley in 2023. We also have more of a quarterly report October 2023 to December 2023 within health systems and planning. So we'll quickly go over that because some of it is redundant and some of that information is captured within that yearly report.
Before you move on the naloxone trainings, is there a goal for like people per area or anything, or is it just like anyone who wants that we can get in?
Yes. So we don't necessarily have a goal. We have goals as it relates to the county and for grant purposes, but not necessarily particular zip codes or jurisdictions. Obviously, we will serve anyone, everyone. So if anyone is interested in that training, we're happy to do it virtually, in person. And then we also, when that training is completed, folks can have a naloxone kit distributed to them. If it is in person, you'll have it on hand. And then we also promote our mail-in naloxone programs.
Okay, well, I was just curious. Yes. And then I also was just asking, because like, we could obviously push for it as a community if they're eligible.
Absolutely.
What's the mail-in program?
So it's very, pre-COVID, in order to distribute naloxone, we would have to do outreach on site, be, you know, at an event. Mail-in allows just folks to, or residents, to put in a request online. They just have to confirm that they've completed like a mini training. It's really just a video for a video. And then we will mail in the mail-in naloxone directly to them.
Okay.
I have a couple questions on the Oak Coast. So 60 ED visits in 2023, are those 60 unique individuals or are there some potential duplicate visits?
So that's a great question. I don't have necessarily the direct answer off the top of my head, but I can definitely ask our epidemiology and data team.
Do you also, within those 60 people, get kind of like cross tabs? Like, are they old, young, male, female? Like, you need that kind of information. Just curious if would they have some
more
just to know if we were going to try to do something in terms of outreach with them. Absolutely.
That is definitely a great question. We certainly can look at that. We do. So for the data specific, if there are particular asks, we do have a website now, a couple websites. We have a data request website that anyone internally or externally can request data. So if there's particular, you know, demographic or again, zip code level or however, or cross reference between low socioeconomic status, we could pull that report, share it with that person who requests that data. But additionally, we also have our CARES website, which is more dashboards, maps, interactive data. So happy to ask our epidemiology and data
team. Let me play around with that website first, and then if I have questions, I will reach out so I will make my work real.
Well, I do want to point out that this happens a lot when we use the zip code. Because if it's your own data,
right,
you, other than it sounds like the social services, you serve only the Bexley in 4329, because Columbus, Philadelphia, serves the rest of 4329, which is like, or about a third of the 4329 population. So if it looks like the source is pulling from another source that might be pulling from all of 4329. So it's not always possible. It's not always possible to truly delve in. It's like I know that we cannot have three of those deaths in Bexley in 2023, but yeah. I would have to go back. So if you want really granular Bexley information, we can just hobble some of it together. If it's not, maybe some of the sources.
Yeah, because again, some of the data, especially with the overdose data, try to be an area of kind of where that person may have lived or the student may have lived, but not necessarily pinpoint the exact location.
That's also like the story with everything.
Yes.
Like it's always like, well, there's like 2,000 more people that don't live here.
And I know too, like for some of our data, we're limited, especially like our care coordination, for example, we have to look at zip code because although we do collect census tract data, it's not, not great. And so unfortunately, we kind of have to look big picture at zip code, which.
Yep.
If I recall correctly. Yes. I was going to say some of our immunizations and things are zip code level too. So we run into that. So for I guess sake of time, is there any, I don't want to run over. This is only my second meeting and last meeting. I think was pretty, but I'm not as heavily attended.
We heard your comment.
Yes. So for health systems and planning, that quarterly data, again, very repetitive of some of the data and data points. One thing I do want to highlight is for our behavioral health addiction services, we did have our kickoff of our OD2A local grant. It is over a $3 million grant for the next 5 years, focusing on overdose data to action through collaboration with different partners. So definitely something as these next 5 years, we plan to utilize these funds, work with community partners to not only look at data, but then put some of that data to action to reduce the overdose deaths. So quickly, and then also I guess within our health systems and planning, one thing I did want to note is previously our epidemiology and data team were housed in health systems and planning. As of 2024, we now have our own office of epidemiology and data, just to structure a little better internally. So nothing really is changing operationally for our jurisdictions, just that they are now housed with in our administrative division, similar to our communications, our IT, and HR. So then our environmental health report, again, this is a quarterly report for Bexley. Here are rabies we had from October to December, three animal exposures that were investigated, two dogs, one cat, two were released, and one was the unknown or stray, and that was the cat.
I have some more info on that. Because that's always a great thing. No, it wasn't. She's not a biter. It'll brand it. 10/19 was a minor bite. The dog went after dog walking by, and the person bit. The person that was bitten was bit after they tackled the dog to take them off the other dog. But the dog has since moved to nuts. This is the English bulldog. The golden retriever, she didn't know about the cat. So I think we continue to have, just to bring this back, we've asked that our animal control officer be alerted anytime you guys get information, and there just seems to be this like disconnect,
yeah.
So that she can do follow up via our code with aggressive golden retrievers, for example. I'm an issue. Yeah, I'm saying that sarcastically.
I was so sad, I didn't know there was such a thing.
We also have there's an ordinance in front of City Council. Have you guys heard about this? The pit bull ordinance? Okay. So currently is it okay if I segue just really briefly? There's a, on our code today, pit bulls need to be registered with Animal Control and have behavioral certification and evidence proof of insurance. There's an ordinance that has been proposed by Councilman Marcelino that would change that to not be specific to a breed, but the way that our ordinance is currently drafted would have the chief and I come up with a policy forward, but I don't think that. The chief doesn't want that either. And I think he's kind of moving beyond that and proposing now that we eliminate any breed specific legislation and that we put in some language about sugar. So, If the dog is not able to be covered by home rental insurance, then they would go into those extra requirements to be registered, behavioral certification, wearing an identifying tag. Fenced in yard, I think, as well, condition, as opposed to being brand specific. So I don't know enough about the insurance piece. We're trying to learn more about that. Like, what might that impact the water? It's maybe impact. It might actually be more restrictive than the current map. So. Right. Yeah. And also requires somebody to, like, you know the law and follow it.
Yeah.
Which, so that's kind of where it is today.
Is it possible to say, this particular dog has demonstrated somebody then these are triggered.
That's already existing. So that's dangerous versus vicious dog. So a dangerous dog could be a dog that likes to attack another dog, for example. And then we have a series of additional criteria during the time which is labeled a dangerous dog, it needs to be kept. Yard, it needs to run also the blockers, but those are actually more restrictive than the license, the pit bull registration one, which is more just about like some additional due diligence, not quite as like, and it's also before the fact as opposed to after the fact. So yeah, I don't know.
It's tricky. I think the behavioral certifications.
Yeah, I think we have like maybe less than 20 dogs that have been registered for this program. This is the vicious breeds of pit bulls. We used to have an outright prohibition
of
this. Yeah. It was all old on our books. When the state got rid of it, because it was statewide, when the state got rid of it, we still had it. And so for a while we used to do it. And then we were having residents moving into the city with, they'd adopt a dog and, they were being told they had to get rid of the dog, and so we created this
routes or like legal ownership.
Okay. How many DBOs dogs?
That's a question, but it's not a huge number.
Yes.
Because you kind of graduate the perk. Like they, it's not like a permanent label. And then vicious is when they've attacked a person. Anyway, if you guys had any perspective or opinion or wanted to take a look at that or provide any feedback, I just like to be aware of anything potentially. Thank you.
No, thank you. No worries. No, please. I'm here. So, public swimming pools, and for the year, we licensed 395 recreational facilities. Eight of those 395 pool spas or special use pools are in Bexley. Over the course of the past quarter four, we did conduct two inspections. And again, those were listed there: Columbus School for Girls, Dedger Rose, Jones, and Tory. Body art, again, we have a year kind of look at 92 of those body art facilities were licensed. In the quarter, we only had one inspection, and that's Brow Teak. And that's permanent makeup and reconstruction procedures. And those two of the 92 body art tattoo facilities, two of those are in Bexley. And then when we look at food and school health, we've got a couple here. So we issued one warning for they're not having a license as a new owner. That was Giant Eagle. There were three administrative hearings were ordered, but they were canceled due to compliance, and that was Giant Eagle, Max Convenience Store, and Barack's Bubble Tea.
I don't think those are Bexley businesses, so I think it's
actually Barack's
Bubble Tea. Yeah, he is. That's a Bexley
Mart.
A Bexley Mart?
It's a counter about that wide.
Oh, on North Cassidy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He has Bubble Tea?
Yeah.
What's Max Convenience Store? Is that the Bexley Mart?
No.
And how's Giant Eagle a new licensee? I'm so confused. Yeah,
that I didn't understand.
That's Max Convenience.
Maybe he's DBA Bexley Mart.
There's a business within a business that's a bad
It's the same. It's all under his under Kojus' name.
I can clarify about your legal. You guys look like?
Yep.
Okay.
Max.
Okay.
I'm just helpful for us to know if there's a different entity name and what version.
Oh, probably like a convenience store that I just put no. And
don't tell my kids that there's
a. I was just made a note. I was like, tell my nephew that's a bubble tea.
It's now a compliance apparently, so that's good. We just did a fire inspection there. Let's take compliance. We have a few things, but it's trying to make it work.
And then there were two complaints. One was for Chipotle. And so the inspector cited critical violations that could contribute to that illness. And then Bexley Coffee Shop, like with no hair nets, when the inspector went, it was not observed.
So there'll be, critical violations.
And that Chipotle was on this list last time too.
And they are a lot of work. You know what sort of critical violations did that in book?
No.
Okay.
But
I Yeah, we often have more detail about those and okay. How many inspections have been done. Is it just one? Is this are these follow-ups from previous violations?
Sorry, I'm asking
something. No, it's okay. I should have been a little. I can't say this was my first meeting. Yeah, last meeting. I had a couple of questions for me as well. So, mostly in the EH and prevention and wellness. So, I'm housed in health systems. And then our last two kind of sections, again, plumbing, medical, gas. There wasn't too much here to report on, just that over the course of 2023, 77 inspections were conducted that were residential and two commercial, and no medical gas inspections. And then sustainability, there was one complaint in end of October for solid waste.
It's harder to remember that. Our view there.
Oh.
It was just in need of a good clean.
I wasn't sure what that was.
They were moving the trash out of the trash room expediently enough in through the dumpsters on the exterior. So there was an odor in the trash holding room bag. Scrubbed it and they're hopefully being more diligent about not allowing that to accumulate. So yeah, I met your inspection.
So then our final report is our prevention and wellness. So this is, I'll start with our immunization program of school nurse section. So for December, we were able to conduct 69 clients, 5 homebound patients were vaccinated. Again, this is across all of our adult and childhood school vaccination clinics. For Bexley data, for the quarter, we had 21 vaccinations that were administered to 6 clients residing in the city of Bexley. We did have a couple of grants and outreaches that were conducted that we partnered with. So we do have a NACHO grant that is around vaccine equity. And so this is also throughout the 2024, you may see additional information or again, just data will be better used to create that plan around vaccine hesitancy. We also did an ETSS or partnered with ETSS on the outreach clinic. Again, this was a community clinic, not something that as part of our traditional mobile clinics or our clinics on Broad Street at our main location. We did create some and have been continuing to work on some clinic improvements as it relates to our standard operating procedures. We also added some screening questions for in our electronic medical records to assess those basic needs. So we asked about mental health, again, health insurance, maybe a medical home, any type of social service, safe sleep, tobacco cessation. If one of those are identified or multiple are identified, they are then triaged and the referral goes to either one of our community health workers, a public health nurse, or a peer support specialist. So that is something new. We also conducted a QI project around no service, no shows, and cancellations. And so as a result, we saw an increase in rescheduling and cancellation, but a decrease to no service rate. And we think, or we can attribute that to FCPH staff physically speaking to clients prior to their appointments, doing those check-ins, check-ups. So we will continue doing QI projects there. Couple pictures of our nursing team. So I always like to add that in here.
I think I see you
because I'm doing this. Our maternal and child health section. Again, through our CMH program, our Children with Medical Handicaps program, for the quarter four, we were able to provide comprehensive case management to 7 excellent families. We had our home visiting program and safe sleep program. Again, in 2023, 12 home visits were conducted, 8 safe sleeps were conducted through this program.
Not actually specific.
It is not actually specific. No, it's county specific. It is a pilot project. And so we have had some internal changes staff-wise. So that maybe that is attributing to why some of those numbers are certainly, though, I would say if, and I'd be happy to make a note in the future for any updates around Bexley specific for that program and safe sleep. And then just want to highlight again some upcoming and also some that just happened for our health literacy grant, advancing health literacy grant. So we did have a training that just took place January 9th. We do have a couple upcoming trainings. One's January 25th. And the link is here for those who want to register. It is open to the public. And then March 8th, we are having a conference. It will be both in person and virtual. So limited seating, but you can register today. Certainly, we have a flyer, so happy to share that resource out as well.
Already enrolled.
Very wonderful. And then again, as we look at infectious disease, and happy to answer questions, but I will also warn you all, sometimes this data even confuses me a little bit. But as it was reported on December 29th, we had for the county, 135,053 total cases, a little over 96,000 were confirmed, a little over 38,000 were probable. We have some demographic breakdown there. You all can see as we look at the trends as it relates to new hospital admissions, percent change, and then new COVID-19 hospitalizations, admissions. We have remained green for October, November, and December, which is considered low, according to the CDC. Our trend is a little for our COVID-19 total confirmed and probable cases. Again, this is county level data. For the last 14, that trend is slightly up, but kind of again a little dip with the holidays, and then kind of going back up post holidays. There you can see
traction.
Yes,
because there are also holidays here, but you'll see that in every one of those graphs.
Yes, weekends.
Okay.
I just worry how accurate are these, because these are what people, I'm running into people all the time constantly that are positive right now.
Yeah.
Did they report it?
Yeah. Yeah. I know we do, you know, our messaging is still to stay safe, stay at home if you're sick, mask, wash your hands, all of those safety measures. And then I know we still are promoting, still have COVID-19 test kits. So happy, to share that messaging with you all.
Where do people get kits?
How can they? So right now, our emergency preparedness, if there's a specific ask, we've kind of still been doing it by jurisdiction or agency, so we kind of do it in bulk, not necessarily the individual level of residents. So I would say definitely happy to connect with you all with our emergency preparedness.
And I know our library still gets them.
And then we have a map, again, showing kind of that for November to December, the COVID-19 cases. So that will trend there. And then flu, again, the local flu activity, a bit, and it's kind of hard to see, so I might have to zoom in a bit there. But we are kind of going trending upward. So again, similar messaging. And I know on every call, we try to promote our immunization clinics. It's not too late for flu shot, and we have that. Same with RSV and COVID-19.
You are offering RSV vaccines?
Yes, I will. Don't quote. Now we might.
You might not have.
I was going to say now. At one time we were.
Yeah.
We might be out.
Isn't that age?
65.
And then talk to. As soon as I get home tonight, I'm going to ask. Our clinic staff. We still have our community.
And so the math, the Ohio influenza hospitalizations, that was just specifically for that one week.
Yes.
Okay.
So then, is that this one?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So then again, for the map, if we look at, the different kind of across the state, we're considered high there. And then again, some of these indicators and trends. So you can see we're kind of trending upward in all of the categories. A little more information on the national activity. And then again, some of our case counts for the top 15 reportable conditions for FPH. And there are the comparisons there. So for 2022 versus 2023, so some of those reportable conditions we've seen a decrease. And again, is that due to folks actually not reporting?
Yeah, but a decrease in almost everything might not be reported.
Right.
If there's a data lag for 2023 year to date, it says through 2012-20, but I think some of these,
yes,
things are listed by the SCOs.
Additional questions? hopefully I'll come in next time, next meeting. Teresa will be here in person. But if not, if it might be me, and again, I'll have some follow up.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
There's nothing we need to approve, is there?
No, just the date of the next meeting, just to share with everyone.
Okay. So if there are any other comments, questions, then we will adjourn. Thank you.
Our next meeting is on April 16th at 5:30. I think I shared the invitations with you, Danny, but if you don't, but please let me know and I'll be sure to you.
Thank you.
I think we should fit.
Okay. Sorry, on the count.
What are you planning in school?
Public policy.